Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody, we are back. I was busy, and you will find out why. We go over a lot in this episode: smartphones, technology, a little bit of news of the day. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. I love hearing from you. And if you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support to help us continue to reach millions of young people around the ideas that helped build our beautiful country, the history, and our culture. charliekirk.com/support. We're back. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hello, everybody. We are back. It's been about 10 days, almost, actually, let me think about this, 11 or 12 days since we have been in the chair. It's been an amazing week and a half. Got married on May the 8th. Probably the best day of my life. Yeah, it was the best day of my life. And then right after that, went on my honeymoon with my wife, Erica. It was amazing. No phone, no contact with the outside world. And boy, are we going to talk about that. And when I mean no contact, I mean no newspaper, no phone, no computer. In fact, my entire bearing of whatever was happening in the world was overhearing conversations at the very nice resort that we were at, in an undisclosed location, of course. And people were just saying, Israel, gas prices, pipeline hacking. And I just tried to zone out of all of it, and I'm so glad that I did. And so I did a lot of thinking, a lot of reading. I actually read 1984. I didn't just read it. I studied it. I have a lot of things I want to share with that, because we use that term Orwellian so often. I think people really don't understand what it actually means, because I think people read 1984 in some high school literature class, and then they just think they really understand what Orwell was trying to warn us about. So I did a lot of thinking, a lot of writing, a lot of things I want to explore and share with you today. I also did a lot of observing. And so with no phone and no smooth screens to distract me, no digital pacifiers to placate me, I realized how much beautiful idle time we as human beings have. For example, you're sitting waiting for food, and maybe your wife went to the restroom, or maybe she's going to the front desk to get something. And so you have no phone to look at. There's no smooth screen or digital pacifier to burn the time. And so instead, you look up and you look around. There's no tweets to reference. There's no Instagram feed to scroll through. And quite honestly, it was beyond therapeutic. It was freeing. And so I did a lot of people watching while I was on my honeymoon. And every single person that I saw at the resort, in one way or the other, was a slave to their device. We are at a brilliantly beautiful resort. The sunsets were beyond anything you can imagine, the beaches, the natural beauty. And yet, we were 30 seconds away from the climax of the sunset in one of the most beautiful resorts on the planet. And I looked to my right and I looked to my left, and people were looking at their phones, texting friends halfway around the world, bringing their friends with them to that moment. And so this was the first time in, quite honestly, a decade I had been anywhere without my phone for an extended period of time. And so I started to just write notes of how people were interacting with each other. It was almost, in some ways, it became a sociological experiment that Erica and I discussed. What I realized is that this technology was not just accelerating or amplifying pre-existing trends. No, it was creating new behaviors altogether. There is nothing rational. There is no logical explanation. When you are in paradise, the most beautiful place a person can be, and the dozens of people that are also there alongside, they are staring down to their phone. In the ancient times, or even 100 years ago, we used to look up to the heavens or the cosmos for direction, and now our necks are fixated down for the next dopamine rush that these gadgets and these devices are pushing towards us. It was so refreshing and relaxing and freeing and liberating to be able to sit in front of this beauty without the digital pacifier or the dopamine machine, as I mentioned. So I just asked the question. I said, if all the smartphones on this continent vanished, would America be a happier, more gentle, and less alienated society? So that was the first observation, was the phones, how we are no longer enjoying the natural world around us. People were not even having conversations with their wife or their husband. In fact, Erica and I one evening were just watching, and one couple, they spent 95% of their meal texting on social media, Snapchatting, and interacting back and forth with people that were not there. And I thought to myself, outside of the nice cool breeze and the food, why not just sit at separate tables? There was no verbal communication. There was no connection. There was no spiritual growth. Instead, it was just merely a collaborative work group while they were exploring social media together. And people did not even realize they were impacting their own humanity while they were doing that. The second thing that was really interesting to see was in an all-outdoor resort, how people still clung to their masks. I heard through one way or the other that the mask issue was a big issue last week. And now as I start to get back into this news cycle, you know, I kind of feel like I woke up from a coma after 9 days. I'm asking all these very logical and rational questions. You see, I was not in the simulation the last couple weeks. So now as I get back into the simulation, I start to ask very logical and rational questions. And I start to see that we're all playing a rigged game. That the way the news cycle is designed, the way that we talk about these issues, is all within a comfortable, prearranged corporate media framework that is designed to keep you obedient and America unfree. That's basically where we're at. And so I guess one of the big issues and stories in the last week was this mask issue, was this issue that the CDC now says that you're allowed to walk around without a mask if you're vaccinated or something like that. And so as I watched other people in outdoor resorts cling to their masks, I wondered, are they doing this because they actually think it's going to keep them safe? Or are they doing this because they've been told to do this? And finally, I observed, and kind of my people watching experiment, which by the way is what people used to do before these smooth screens designed by the Menlo Park masters in the Silicon Valley oligarchs infiltrated our planet. When we decided it would be a good idea to give every single breathing human a device so complex, hardwired for your addiction. Before that, people used to talk to each other. No one was talking to anyone. Not with the people they came with, not with others. The binds that tied us together as a human species were evaporating in real time. And if the conservative movement is going to be good for anything, if the conservative movement is going to have any sort of success in the future, I'm not talking about winning elections. Anyone can win elections. You win elections with, you can win elections with slogans and running in Republican districts. I'm talking about success of actually saving the country. If the conservative movement's going to have any form of success, it better start addressing what's actually happening in this country. And it's not just high taxes and low taxes. It's not even just gas prices, which I know is something we're going to get into. No, it's deeper than that. It's what is a human being? Is that something worth preserving and protecting? Is the conservative movement going to be focused on things that are eternal and lasting and things that matter? Or just things that give you a thrill or give you a short pleasure kick? The conservative movement's going to be worth anything. It's not just going to have a conversation about these issues. It's going to seek to solve them, address them, and actually preserve our precious humanity before it disappears for good. Is it time to stop renting and buy your first home? Owning your home is an investment in your future, and with today's low rates, now is the time to do it. Often with mortgage payment, it's the same as rent, so why pay for someone else's mortgage payment? Going through the mortgage process for the first time means you're going to have lots of questions. You need someone you can trust. I recommend Andrew and Todd at andrewandtodd.com. They are with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. These guys are honest, trustworthy professionals who can answer all of your questions and walk you through the entire process. They help first-time homebuyers and put the actual plan together. And because Andrew and Todd are bankers, not brokers, Andrew and Todd and their team personally work with you from the start to finish. You always have someone in your corner. I've heard amazing things about Andrew and Todd, so take the first step towards home ownership. You know you want to. Just go online and answer a few questions at andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. If you guys are a mortgage, maybe you're looking to buy a home, do it while rates are low. Go to andrewandtodd.com, andrewandtodd.com. Again, I woke up from the 10-day coma and I'm just asking very rational questions like, how do you hack a pipeline? How does exactly that work? Still trying to figure out an answer to that. And so then the obvious question is, wait a second, so you can hack a pipeline, but you can't hack voting machines? Now that's a thought crime. You're not allowed to ask that question. Very simple question. Wait, so you can hack the Colonial Pipeline and then extort for $5 million while our government calls them hackers and not terrorists, which they obviously are. But somehow our voting system is completely fine. Don't ask any questions. Sit down and shut up. You're a racist. There's also a lot happening in Israel, which happens to be an issue I care a lot about and I know a lot about just because I've visited there so many times. And I, more so than a lot of kind of American social justice activists, I actually appreciate the nuance and the history of what's been happening in Israel over the last couple decades in particular. I want to explore that together. But before I get into any of that, I kind of want to reinforce something that I was saying, which is that the conservative movement has an opportunity. We are going through what I call a slow motion revolution. This revolution is not happening overnight. It's not always happening in the streets, but it's happening in slow micro doses. Now, at times, the collectivists, the totalitarians, the authoritarians, they overdo the dosage. They go too quickly. They overplay their hand. A great example of this is how they purged Donald Trump down the memory hole and destroyed him from social media overnight. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, gone. Donald Trump, he's an unperson. He never existed. Who is this man you speak of? It's a thought crime to mention him. Now, by the way, a lot of this language might sound like newspeak. It's because I actually spent three full days studying 1984, not just reading it. And both sides like to have a claim to 1984. The liberals like to say that Republicans are engaged in Orwellian type behavior because they don't want Liz Cheney to be in leadership of their party, which is a very bizarre, unfounded accusation. And then conservatives at times use 1984 and George Orwell and Orwellian references to worry about big tech tyranny and surveillance and just general political totalitarianism. But I think there's a truth behind 1984 that a lot of people are missing. And we're going to explore that. But the conservative movement right now has this great opportunity because there's so much happening that's affecting people's lives, things that matter, families, childhood development, the spirit and the soul of who we are. And as soon as conservatives start to actually talk about these things, people are going to listen outside of just the prearranged goalposts of the current political debate. For example, can somebody in the leadership of the Republican Party come out and say that it's a bad thing that seven-year-olds are spending 8 hours plus in front of the smooth screens of what I call them? An iPad, an iPhone, a computer. Is that a good thing for our country? Is that a healthy thing for the next generation, for us trying to pass down our values? Maybe instead of trying to investigate what they call the greatest threat on democracy in the history of the planet, which is already being done by the Justice Department and every other federal agency, why don't our leaders investigate what the long-term effects to neuroscience and biochemistry that technology is having on 6, 7, and 8 year olds, or maybe even 14, 15, 16 year olds, or maybe even 30, 31, and 32 year olds. The conservative movement should value virtue and eternal truth over thrills and pleasure, and having more plastic than the other person. And there's a lot of these issues intersect with that. And the totalitarians, the collectivists that are now, they now basically exercise control over everything. And unfortunately, that did not change in the last 10 days. We now have the Space Command story that I want to get to and the American Airlines story I want to get to. It really is a question of, do we have an opposition party to any of this? Or do we have a controlled opposition that merely just wants to be in power while the other side dominates? A gas station sells regular unleaded for $4 a gallon. The gas stations next door sell the exact same unleaded gas for $2 a gallon. So which are you going to buy? The $2 gas, right? It's a no-brainer. So why are you still paying overinflated rates for wireless with Verizon, T-Mobile, or AT&T when you could be getting the exact same coverage as one of those big carriers with PureTalk? Except get this, it costs you less than half. The average family is saving over $800 a year. Right now, get unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just over $30 a month. And if you go over on data, they don't charge you for it. Switching is so easy. You can keep your phone, keep your number, or choose from the latest iPhones or Androids. Make the smart choice and switch to PureTalk. Just dial #250, that's #250, say the keyword Charlie Kirk to save 50% off your first month. That's #250, say Charlie Kirk. Peer Talk is simply smarter wireless. So one of the stories that has happened in the last couple days that caught my attention is this story of how this man, Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer, he's a Space Force commander, removed after saying Marxism is infiltrating the United States military. Now, the reason they removed him is because they said, we do not want people to be partisan. Let's go to cut 28 of Matthew Lohmeyer. He was relieved of his command. He went on Sean Hannity's show and explained how he has been noticing over the last several years an increase in Marxism in the armed forces. Now, before I play this, we used to call people like this whistleblowers. We used to put people like this on the front page of our news media and celebrate them. Now they are removed for stating the obvious, for being truth tellers. How dare you stop our revolution, Matthew Lohmeyer? What do you think you are, an American? Play cut 28.
What happened is I began noticing some time ago, and not just in the past few months, but over the past several years, an increasing relevance of what I saw was Marxist ideology parading around by other names. The defense secretary in February, I think it was February 5th of this year, called for an extremism down day and issued a guidance memorandum to all service members. And in the guidance memorandum, he basically gave an injunction to every service member to combat extremist ideologies within the force where they saw them.
To combat extremist ideologies. Now, let's just do a little refresher. Dwight D. Eisenhower to Ronald Reagan. We used to want our military to fight communism. Our military used to be trained against the ideas of Marxism. Now we are purging the ranks of our military for merely stating that they are worried that Marxists are infiltrating the U.S. military. Doesn't that prove his point? Isn't his point proved by the fact that he has been removed? I want to ask you a question. Do you think that someone would be removed from the military if they said that they think there are white supremacists in the U.S. military? No, they would be given an MSNBC contributor role. We went through the CIA recruitment video. The U.S. Army has a new recruitment advertisement featuring lesbians at a gay wedding and an LGBTQ pride march. And let's just do a little refresher. This is the woke Army ad. This is the United States Army. This is their new advertisement. Now remember, one of the long desired objectives of the Marxists and the totalitarians has been the infiltration of the armed forces. Cut 37.
This is the story of a soldier who operates your nation's Patriot missile defense systems. It begins in California with a little girl raised by two moms. Although I had a fairly typical childhood, took ballet, played violin, I also marched for equality. I like to think I've been defending freedom from an early age. A way to prove my inner strength and maybe shatter some stereotypes along the way.
So for those of you listening on radio that might have driven off the street and hit the side barrier of what you were listening, I completely understand. I hope that you're okay, because I was listening to this and no, you are not listening to an MTV LGBTQ advertisement. You are not listening to a Huffington Post dynamic insert advertisement. You are not listening to some sort of virtue signaling corporate propaganda that we have just grown accustomed to. You're not listening to Delta Airlines all of a sudden come on the screen and talk about how good of people they are before they're hopefully flying you safely. No, you are listening to taxpayer-funded advertisement from the United States Army. From the United States Army, they are now pushing advertisements saying and pushing this idea that my fight started by being raised by two moms. By a lesbian parents. That my fight continues by now being able to control the missiles. And what's really happening here, and almost everyone is missing it, is their posturing. They're showing that the radical is not even the best word for it. It's not. It's pernicious. It's that they control the missiles now. That's the point of that advertisement. The point of that advertisement, they knew it was going to go. Insidious is the right word. Thank you, producer Andrew. It really is insidious. It's menacing. It's all those things. The point of that advertisement is not to try to get more people to join the army. No one's going to join because of that. No, that is a victory lap. That advertisement is them saying, we now control the missiles and you don't. Let's go to the next cut here of Lieutenant Colonel Lohmeyer. Cut 29. He says there were videos in the military they had to watch that taught about the founding of America was actually 1619. This is the military, everybody. And that white people are inherently evil. Cut 29.
There were videos being sent out to every base service member that we were asked to watch in preparation for our extremism down days and discussions on race, in which we were taught that the country was evil, that it was founded in 1619 and not 1776, and that whites are inherently evil.
Now, the military is refuting or challenging this claim. I tend to believe this guy, Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer. The military was always sacred. In a lot of ways, it still is. Our veterans are heroes. But the same sort of people that have now infiltrated American Airlines and Delta Airlines have infiltrated the Pentagon, the Central Intelligence Agency, and the highest levels of power you can imagine. Let me just be as materialistic as possible. If you control the aircraft carriers, you control the most important things. If you control the bullets and the missiles, you control the satellites and the drones. That ideology now is in charge. And this is a sea change from how liberals and leftists used to view the military. You see, liberals and leftists used to oppose the military. They used to want to disassemble it. That's their utopian dream, that they can create a better world where we don't have to have police and we don't have to have any sort of conflict. And there's still some of that within the activist base of the collectivist authoritarian left. But it's different now. Because of Donald Trump and because of how successful the conservative movement has been, the people that don't wish to create a better world, they're no longer in control. It's the people that want to be in power endlessly. And so a lot of times conservatives ask me, Charlie, what do liberals want? What do leftists want? Let me read you a speech from 1984 as I studied it the last week. This is O'Brien, who is the antagonist of the story, Winston obviously being the protagonist. Now, I will answer my question. It is this. The party seeks power entirely for its own sake. We're not interested in the good of others. We are interested solely in power. Not wealth or luxury or long life or happiness. Only power. Pure power. What pure power means, you will understand presently. We are different from all other oligarchies of the past in that we know what we are doing. All the others, even those who resembled ourselves, were cowards and hypocrites. The Nazis and the communists came very close to us and our methods, but never had the courage to recognize their own motives. They pretended, perhaps they even believed, that they had seized their power unwillingly and for a limited time, that they just round the corner and a paradise where human beings could be free and equal. We are not like that. We know that no one ever seizes power with the intention of relinquishing it. Power is not a means. It is an end. One does not establish a dictatorship in order to safeguard a revolution. No, one makes the revolution in order to establish the dictatorship. The object of persecution is persecution. The object of torture is torture. The object of power is power. Now do you begin to understand me? Orwell wrote this as a prophecy, as a warning, but that is the mission statement of what we're living under. Power is not a means. Power is an end. Control is their highest possible goal that they're trying to reach. It's a hard thing for a lot of Americans to believe. But now they also control the United States military. And so we're living through this slow motion revolution. You see, those of us that believe in things that are eternal, truths that do not change, not just practical knowledge, but eternal knowledge, we're very vulnerable to these sort of infiltrations and these sort of attacks, the kind of corrosive nature of the left or of the collectivists, because we always have to be the ones that are preserving, and they're the ones that are trying to excite the masses, to allure them to embrace their ideas based on this false premise of progress, on this idea that we are going to always have a better tomorrow, and it's almost rooted in this Hegelian idea of historicism. We don't need to get too philosophical at the moment, but Hegel was a German writer who wrote a very hard book to read that I myself have not even read, called The Phenomenology of Spirit, but it's this idea that history is this continuum that moves forward to its inevitable end point. That we must use whatever power we have at our disposal to try to effectuate the next end point towards whatever you deem to be good. Now, the problem with that is it viewed history as this overarching trajectory that everyone plays a part in instead of something worthy of preservation and worthy of protecting. That there must always be a moment where we must change what already exists. So it's hard for us that believe in things that work and things that are eternal. We would call this common sense, but it's becoming less and less common because we are told that any sense that you might have that is common, that is rational or logical, is white, heteronormative, cisgender, Western, tyrannical belief. So the fight is difficult, but it's not impossible. We're going to explore exactly how it's already being pushed back against. But I want to use the couple seconds we have remaining to tell you about something new we have at charliekirk.com. It's called Boycott, not boycott, but Boycott. So you can go to charliekirk.com and there is a Boycott tab on it. And we are creating a marketplace. We are creating a portal where we want the best companies that make things in America, that do things the right way, to be rewarded. And we want you to refer these companies to us. So if you go to charliekirk.com/boycott or just charliekirk.com, we have Boycott on the top page, and you guys can type in the companies that you think are worthy of being listed. We are going to have a massive influx of businesses. We're going to go through them, and we are going to list the top textile companies, food companies, transportation companies, local small businesses that are not pandering to this woke nonsense, that are being courageous, that are standing up against the lies that are dominating our society and are wishing to proclaim truth. CharlieKirk.com. Check it out. You can go to the Boycott tab. Maybe it's your business or a friend's business. We want you guys to participate in that. CharlieKirk.com/boycott. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support us, it's charliekirk.com/support. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.